Blog Talk Radio.
And I am James Lyons, and soon I'll be joined with my partner in crime, Nino Hernandez. This is We've Been Saying It Sports, brought to you by Blue Retina Entertainment Company. We are coming to you live from the Blue Retina Entertainment Company studios in good old Central Oregon. Today we got a pretty good little first show. We want to talk some things about NFL, NBA, different things. Not going to get into baseball today. It might be rare that we get to baseball on this show. However, we will get to it because it's sports. We love all sports. The one thing I do, we're going to really touch on in the very beginning here, is the debate about Winston or Mariota. Being from Oregon, of course, I'm a Mariota fan. Of course, we know he's kind of partial himself as we are Duck fans over here. Now we're going to discuss, you know, who's going to be the better fit for the NFL, who's going to do better, who's going to play better. We're going to discuss a little NBA legacy. We're going to be touching on just a few players that might be on their way out, like Kobe, Duncan, and Dirk Nowitzki, and see, just kind of get a perspective to see where we think they're going to be at and what legacy they're going to leave behind. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the NFL draft, kind of the strength of it. That's kind of what's going on right now. You got free agency coming. It is May, so it's just starting to creep back in, you know, to the NFL. We've got some things going on in basketball. The NBA is getting into some interesting games. So we've got things like that to talk about. It's very interesting just before May because there's not much to talk about kind of in February and stuff, you know, with our March and all that, other than Super Bowl and different things. We got, you know, college basketball, which we will be getting into probably on the next broadcast. But so stay with us, and after this first break, we will definitely be back with some Winston and Mariota talk. So do not go away. We will return shortly.
Yeah.
Welcome back to We've Been Saying It. I'm James again, and we'll be joined shortly with my partner, Lino Hernandez, as we discuss the Winston and Mariota debate. Who are you picking? Or does either of them slip to the second round? I don't think so. I think they're going to very much benefit from a very shabby draft. So especially quarterback-wise, it's not deep. And a couple of these teams need quarterbacks, and they need to take a chance on a young one. And I think they're both good. I think Winston and Mariota are both capable of becoming a decent NFL player. I just there are doubts, as with anything, especially with rookies. I mean, you don't know. Ryan Leaf, for example, or different players. I mean, there's been players, quarterbacks time and time again, who we thought were great, and they came in the NFL, and they just didn't succeed for one reason or another. And there's a few reasons that I believe that Mariota and Winston could succeed. But there's also the same amount of reasons why I believe that either one of them, they could fail. They could both fail. Yeah? Well, no. I mean, think about it this way. The producer was just saying, you know, about the Marcus Mariota being a lot less skillful than Winston. But I don't know. I think that is to be seen. We act like we see the mechanics of Winston. Yeah, I agree. Winston has some incredible mechanics. But he also has some poor decisions that he's made in throughout his career in college. I mean, he has been great, but he has also been he's made some weird decisions with the ball. And I think the Rose Bowl was kind of telling. I know that was Mariota versus Winston, but look at some of the things he did towards the end. I mean, just giving up the ball and some of the chances that he takes, he reminds me of a less talented Brett Favre in that way. Brett Favre would try to squeeze that ball in, but Brett Favre had the rocket arm. He would power that ball in and with such a force that it was hard for anyone to break up those passes. I mean, he did get a lot of interceptions, but he also had some success. And I think Winston's going to be kind of like that, and he's going to have to get in better shape, I think. A lot of times they say just keep him in the pocket, but in today's NFL, you got a few pass rushers. Let's say he goes to Tampa Bay. I mean, there has been some issues in that division in the NFC South. I mean, as of late, but you still have teams that can put points on the board. You still have Matt Ryan. You still have Drew Brees, you know, and Cam Newton, which he's up and down, but you're still going to have those power offenses with those great quarterbacks. And I think if Tampa Bay puts their pick in Winston, they could have themselves just a straight pocket passer who isn't going to be able to do a whole lot unless they whip him into shape physically. I think Mariota can be brought up to the level of Winston. That's just my opinion, but and he needs to bulk up a little bit because I've been saying this for a long time, he does remind me a lot of a smaller version of Russell Wilson. And he's got the attitude and he's got the maturity to really handle whatever I think the NFL is going to give him. And I think he just needs to go to the right team, right system. I'm not so sure that Tampa Bay is the right team for him to be successful towards the beginning of his career. But I do think Lovie Smith has the ability to help him and bring him along. And I think this whole idea of Chip Kelly trying to come down to the first pick or try to make a play to get Mariota to Philadelphia, I think it's so far-fetched. And he's very smart, and he understands what's going on with his team. He understands how the NFL is going. And I don't think he's going to take that risk. I don't see that being something he's going to do. It's going to cost you so much to go down. No one wants to go down to 20, especially in this draft. I mean, it's not particularly deep on the surface. And, I mean, the information you have is what you have to go by. I mean, there's a lot of undrafted talent out there that has done some great things. You look at Tony Romo and different players who's come up through the ranks just – and not really being drafted or being passed up. I mean, Russell Wilson was not a first-round pick. Like, he wasn't that kind of guy. And look at him now. And, I mean, I think he has a great team that he fell into, and it was fortunate for him. I don't think you put Russell Wilson on this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team as a rookie. I think you have a good player, and you see him do some great things, but not as great. Just it didn't have the same stuff ready for him and tailored for him. However, I mean, it's just such a hard debate. When Lino comes on, we'll definitely get his opinion on this as well. And a lot of people are, you know, saying that, you know, Mariota just doesn't have the skill set that Winston then doesn't have the talent level overall that Winston does, even though he's in a little bit, I think he's in better shape. He's a little bit faster, but as a QB, can he stand in the pocket like Winston can? And does he have the durability to take the hits from the bigger NFL linebackers and pass rushers? I think that he can, and I think with some work and the trainers in the NFL, I think they'll get him to a point where he can do those things. If he goes to the right team that's willing to put that time in, and I think Winston, I think a lot of teams are really looking at it heavily, looking at the tape. I don't think he's got – I think he just does some things different than Mariota. I don't think he does a lot of things better than Mariota. And I would say Mariota has better decisions. He makes better decisions. It's just decision-making in the, like, moment is a little bit better. And they both kind of did well at the combine, and they're both really, really smart. And that's the thing is – I think for how intelligent they both are, I think Winston should be further along than he is. And over at ESPN, Ron Jarowski did mention something about looking at the tape and seeing his mechanics and how they weren't as great as a lot of people are saying. There's some flaws in there that he says that he wouldn't take him in the first round. And I might be a little bit biased towards Mariota because I am a Ducks fan from Oregon, but I don't know. I think he might have the better – I think he has the better upside. I think he's the one that people are just going to kind of not really look at, and Winston is going to be the one that's there. But I think Mariota is really being looked over, and he has the better upside. I think you have too much risk in Winston. Not to say he wouldn't do well, but, you know, you have to weigh the good and the bad and the ugly and – what could be in the next 5 years, what could be in the next 10 years. You got to weigh those out, and you could really hit the jackpot, or you could really flounder in the draft is what's so interesting about it. And I think, you know, you don't know, was Peyton Manning the right pick at the time? Yeah. Did he prove himself to be great? Yeah. Was Ryan Leaf a good pick at the time? Yeah. But he did not pan out. I think Joey Harrington was a great pick, and I think he fell victim to just bad teams. And I don't know if he ever would have been great or would have lasted anyway, but he didn't get the best start. He didn't get the kind of start that you would need as a new pro player. So we're going to go to another break, and as soon as we get back, we should have Lino with us, and so we'll get his take on this, and we'll continue this discussion.
It's time to kick it old school. So you can feel cool. Give it to me, baby.
Welcome back to We've Been Saying It. I told you we'd be joined by Lino, and here he is. Lino, how's it going, buddy?
Pretty good. How you doing? I'm sorry that I was a little late.
That's all right. Are you in San Antonio?
I'm in beautiful El Paso, Texas.
El Paso, Texas.
Oh, no, man.
Texas is a big place.
Hey, the Sun City, dude. No place like it. I'll tell you that right now.
What's that?
I said the Sun City, man. There's no place like it.
No place like it. But there's also no place like, you know, Croatia, but we're not there. So I just got done explaining a little bit about what I thought about Winston and Mariota as we kind of debate this for who's a better fit for the NFL. And, you know, a couple of the points that I touched on, and I'll let you kind of come over this, is, you know, a lot of people are talking, you know, it's more accepted that Winston has the better skill set or that he's a little bit more ready for the NFL. Other than some people are talking about, you know, off-the-field issues. However, ESPN's Ron Jaworski was kind of talking and hinting towards the fact that there are some flaws in his mechanics that he sees where he might not be the right pick for, you know, the first pick. And I believe that that's kind of, you know, Winston having the better skill set. I think he just has different skill sets than Mariota. I think Mariota is a better decision maker overall, and I think he's like a smaller version of Russell Wilson, if you will. And that's kind of summing up what I said earlier, but what are your thoughts?
Honestly, I do think that, you know, Winston is definitely probably a lot, you know, he's probably more ready to go when it comes to the NFL to be a starter. I do think that, you know, given the fact that Mariota started, you know, at Oregon, which has got the spread offense and never really played in a pro-style offense, that it would probably take him some while to adapt. I mean, you look at some of the good quarterbacks that are out there right now, you know, ideally, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he got to sit behind Brett Favre for, what, a few seasons before he became a starter. I think Mariota has the potential. I think he should make it a very well run in the NFL. But I do feel that if he started him extremely early, that he could flounder, especially if he gets drafted to a team like the New York Jets that have really nothing set up for him, you know, to be successful. I mean, they may get Percy Harvin, which I think, for, you know, as a wide receiver, but as far as a run game or anything else, I really don't see anything else that they have. So, yeah, I think out of the gate, you know, Winston's probably more ready to go. But I think overall the better decision-maker, the better quarterback is Mariota.
Right. Like I was saying earlier, I think that Mariota has the better upside. I think I also believe that you're right with, you know, if he goes to the Jets or someone, you know, he might fall victim to just going to a bad team. And I think, you know, not in college, not playing under center or whatnot, I don't know. He did pretty good at the combine, and he impressed some people, and I think he's smart enough to catch on. And I think it wouldn't take him very long. But he has to go to a good team. He has to go to not only a well-coached team, but something that has some pieces there. Because I think in today's NFL, you come in, especially as a first-round quarterback, there's not a lot of patience for you. As soon as you come in, you kind of have to start winning, and it doesn't matter how good the team was or not. I mean, we saw. There's some debate still open on how good Joey Harrington could have been, but I still think he kind of fell victim to being a part of a crappy team.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, no, and that's the truth. I mean, you look at, like, I don't know, Tampa Bay, okay? With the receivers they have what, Vincent Jackson, and they have Mike Evans, right? And then I forget the running back's name just because he was injured this past season, but he had a great rookie year. So they have pieces in play. They just need an offensive line. You know, another team where I see Mariota be extremely successful right now is if he got to have the chance to get drafted by the Rams, okay? If the Rams can make a jump, the 10th spot to the 6th spot, which isn't a huge leap, okay? Ideally, because if you think Mariota's still going to be around by the 16th pick, you don't really have to sacrifice a lot to get Mariota, to move up, what, 4 spots, you know? It's not like you're talking about a drastic, you know, of like the Eagles from 20th to 6th, you know? So
yeah, and that would be nearly impossible to do, I believe.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, without giving up first-round picks for God knows how long, you know? But,
yeah,
you get him in there. He's got two receivers that are just waiting for a quarterback to shine. Not to say that they don't, you know, don't have a good quarterback. And what was it? Sean Hill, was it his name? Or Hill, I think? But
yeah.
Either way, there is a run game there. The offensive line is definitely a lot better than, you know, Tampa Bay has. So you put him in there,
and
especially with what?
Yeah, and the offensive line for the Rams is getting a lot better. And Jeff Fisher is a great coach for, I think, a young quarterback like that.
Oh, absolutely.
We haven't even been able to really see what Sam Bradford can do. I mean, the guy's been hurt. The guy's been in poor situations.
Tell you now, well, okay, coming from, you know, the fact that I torn my ACL and the guy who's now torn his ACL twice in the same knee, dude, I just don't see investing much more in that. You know, it's like me having, like, a lemon vehicle. Transmission goes out. Okay, I replace the transmission. You know, the coolant lines, you know, for the transmission go out. I replace those. The electrical starts going out. Okay, I replace that. I mean, how many more times can you, you know, really try to bank that this car is going to make it, you know?
And you can't. And if you're St. Louis and if you're Jeff Fisher, you're looking for something now, a better guy to lead your team and to, quite frankly, perhaps keep his job.
Yes, absolutely. So
that's what the Rams lack, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, it's like you said, the NFL, the way the business is now, it's like you have to win now. There is no developing players for the most part anymore, you know, unless you're drafted in the third or fourth round where it's okay to go ahead and sit, you know, a little while and actually develop. If you're drafted in the first round or two, yeah, you're expected to play. Now, if you're going to try to make a push, you know, to be, you know, a winning team, that's what I'm saying. Are you really going to bank on the fact that you have this injured quarterback now, 2 years in a row, same knee now? You know what? He's going to be okay coming his next year now? What if he turns it again? And
no.
Then what? You're in that.
I think it's clear. I think it's clear regardless. If Jeff Fisher goes for Mariota or not, or trades down or not, they're in the market for a QB. I mean, by any stretch of the imagination, you've got to understand that they've got to be looking for something else. And maybe Bradford becomes a sixth stringer somewhere and does well. But, you know, other than that, he just had a rough go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, like, if you're still trying to, like, you know, bank on Bradford, right, there's still no harm in taking Mariota if trying to trade up to get the sixth pick. And how I was telling you, he should definitely sit behind somebody. Why not, okay, keep Bradford your starter, draft Mariota, he's your backup, right? And he gets to sit behind Bradford. He also gets somebody else who's got some game experience, which is the backup that started for Bradford this year, you know? And so,
or even on the flip side of that token, you think about what good someone like Sam Bradford could do on the sidelines as a backup to Mariota, talking with Mariota throughout the process. Do you remember, like, okay, you have, you know, Kurt Warner with Eli Manning. He did pretty good sitting on the bench for Eli. I'm not comparing Bradford to Kurt Warner by any means, but. It can work out for Mariota, even if he ended up being the starter, winning the job, and Bradford, you know, helped out a little.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I was saying. You know, you're not necessarily giving up on Bradford. You still have you take Mariota, but at least you've got kind of like a plan B in case Bradford doesn't pan out after his injury, you know?
Right. So who are you taking then? Who are you taking for your Tampa Bay? Are you taking Winston or Mariota? Or are you not taking either one? Which is kind
if
of
I was Tampa Bay, I'm looking to – okay, I understand they want to win now. I wholeheartedly believe they're going to take Winston. I do believe that's what they're going to do, just because that's just the nature of the business. You know, and apparently Lovie Smith had, like, you know, infatuation with, you know, with Winston. But honestly, for me, I do feel that if the pick was in my hands and I was the GM for Tampa Bay, I would – wholeheartedly take Mariota. I don't think I'll necessarily start him right away. You know, maybe try to, you know, pick a free agent quarterback that's a veteran, you know, and just try to bring him in. You could always, you know, halfway through the season, bring Mariota in after he's seen 8 games or so to see how it goes. You know, I still believe throwing him into the you know, the meat grinder week 1, unless he shows it in preseason, you know.
Well, and I look at it this way because I do I don't know if I'm the only one, but I do see Mariota as a little bit of a not that he's exactly the same, but he reminds me a lot of Russell Wilson in many ways. And I think that his decision-making is so on point. And I think that his ability to learn is going to be a quick one. And what I believe is you look at where, you know, Russell Wilson was not picked right away. He was not looked at in the draft as much. And look what he did. And I think if Mariota slips, you know, down a little bit, there's going to be a team that's going to get him, and we're not going to expect it. And I think he'll do very, very well.
No, absolutely. No, I agree.
Yeah. So speaking of quarterbacks, we're going to switch gears a little bit. I had planned to talk about, you know, what is Peyton Manning going to do? And not that he would, you know, I assume he was going to get back with the Broncos and all that. And I wasn't sure that he would retire, even though a lot of rumors were going around for a little bit. But he just, I think it was just today, he redid his contract. And he took a $4 million pay cut so that the Broncos can have some more cap space. What do you think? Because, like, I mean, the Broncos brought Peyton Manning in, I think, expecting to win a Super Bowl in the first, at least the first 2 years. And I don't think that's panned out as well, obviously, as they had hoped. And what is he's now in, what, the third, literally his fourth year on that five-year deal. What do you think? Where is he at? I mean, does he, is it Super Bowl or bust for him this year? Does he retire this year regardless?
Honestly, yeah. I look at Peyton Manning, love the guy to death. But, yeah, for this time around, I think it has to be Super Bowl or bust. I mean, he's starting to get up there, and I think even analysts have been saying that his strength has gone down, especially since the, you know, from this current season that just happened, the previous one, his arm strength, it's getting weaker, you know. Mm-hmm. So he is on that, I say downward spiral, but he's, you know, he's coming off of his peak. He's heading down, you know. And if he, with the neck surgery that he had, he has to be realistic and look at, like, you know, what are my expectations? Can I win with the team that's around me? And I think he can. I think taking, you know, the pay cut showed that he believes he can win it. You know, and with that cap space, hopefully bring in, you know, whatever players they need to bring in to help them get to that championship caliber. I mean, they were a championship caliber team when they went up in Seattle. You know, I just think that initial snap, that safety, just derailed everything, you know. But
right.
I see the Broncos as a very strong contender to win the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, and I think anybody with Peyton Manning is a contender. But you look at, like, because you look at the Colts, though, and you would think that Peyton Manning probably would have had more Super Bowls had that team been better. When Luck is doing a great job, but he's barely really, I mean, he's getting them to the playoffs, but they're still not a great team. And when Peyton Manning was there, you saw when he went for that neck surgery that last time and that season that he sat out, they were horrible on every aspect of the game. And you have the Broncos, which are a pretty good team, and I think defensively especially they kind of stand up to a lot, but I kind of get the feeling that you need to somehow, which I don't know how you do this, but do something to change up how you're approaching yourself in the playoffs. And as weird as it is to say, I mean, the quarterback's kind of the centerpiece, but you got to do something to take the pressure off of Peyton Manning, I think, this year, if you want to win the Super Bowl.
And I agree. And who knows, you know, I mean, maybe if they can establish some kind of run game with Monty Ball, if that's who they really think the running back's supposed to be, you know, that could take some pressure off of Peyton Manning. I mean, he's got so many weapons. I mean, both his tight end Thomas and, what, Demaryius Thomas and then Wes Welker. I mean, the people plays for Manning, you know, but if you're going to try to take some pressure off, yeah, you need, I think, to establish a good run game as well with him. You look at him when he won with the Colts, right? Well, they have Marvin Harrison. And they had, what, I forget the other running back that they had. But, he had pieces around him to help not take, you know, put all the pressure on his shoulders. You know, Adrian James, that's who it was.
Yeah, and I think when they won their Super Bowl, too, see, what happened was, see, their defense was giving up a lot of rushing yards that regular season, and then they stepped it up in the playoffs. And I think the thing is, could you actually say – which I'm not sure if this is accurate, but is Peyton Manning perhaps just not that great of a postseason/championship quarterback?
I guess it all depends on how you measure greatness. Do you measure greatness by Super Bowl victories, or, you know, do you
how often he has been in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And how much he has to show for it. I mean, you look at I think it comes down to because he had some bad teams, but he hasn't. And just look at the last Super Bowl that he played in. I feel like it was kind of scary.
Yeah, I mean, you could question, you know, how good of a quarterback Peyton Manning is. I mean, he's still going to go down in my books as one of the greats. You look at Dan Marino.
Yeah.
He never won a Super Bowl, but he's still a Hall of Fame quarterback. You know.
Right. No, and I believe he's going to be one of the greats, especially since he has a ring.
But,
and it just seems kind of odd that it's almost like he doesn't get the support he needs. I feel like teams, like, he's only been with the two teams, but they like, okay, we have Peyton Manning. So it's like, let's just let him do what he does and not worry about it. And I think that maybe in the playoffs, the coach should do a little bit more.
He still has something as simple as, you know, team management, player selection. I mean, the New England Patriots obviously are perfectionists when it comes to finding, you know, hidden gems when it comes to players and helping support a cast for Tom Brady to win yet another Super Bowl, you know. And because of that, you know, you can't really blame Peyton Manning for that, you know. Whatever's built around him is what's built around him. I don't really feel like he has a say in what players are selected just as much as Tom Brady does either, you know. So because of that,
right,
it's basically GM and the ownership.
Right, and I think so. And I think what it is I'm not saying I'm blaming Peyton Manning per se, but just because he is that quarterback who kind of brought in that whole, I can run the field, like I'm going to run the field when I'm out there. He's basically an offensive coordinator and a quarterback. And I think that hurts him in the playoffs sometimes because I think coaches don't know exactly, because Peyton Manning's Peyton Manning, and he's going to be no coach is going to be basically put above him just because of who he is. And I think in the playoffs it gets more crucial that the coach maybe takes more of that responsibility away from Peyton Manning's shoulders. And I think maybe that's how you could do it this year when they get into the playoffs and try to make a run for a Super Bowl, is the offensive coordinator takes over a little bit more.
Yeah. Or, I mean, maybe the Colts could have held on to a coach like Tony Dungy, retain him, given the fact that Tony Dungy had all this, you know, family issues off the field. You know,
right.
I think if Tony Dungy had stayed, I think you would have had the talk of, like, you know, what would have been the best two, you know, head coach quarterback combination. Would it have been Tony Dungy and Peyton Manning versus Belichick and Brady? But obviously that didn't happen, you know? And that's a could have, would have, should have type of situation, you know? I think, you know, when it comes down to it, he'll be up there, you know, with the great quarterbacks, but he will never probably be compared to a Joe Montana type of player. You know, obviously Tom Brady will be up there. You know, it's going to be like Terry Bradshaw, you know, Joe Montana and Tom Brady are the people that everyone's going to talk about as the greatest quarterbacks of all time. You know, and that goes rightfully so for guys who've won, like, what, 4 and 5 Super Bowls. So
Right. That's
what I said. It all depends on how you measure greatness, I guess.
Yeah, and it's a hard one because you go back and forth because, I mean, I think the Super Bowl rings have elevated certain quarterbacks in the discussion. But, I mean, seriously, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to if you had to pick in their prime, are you going Peyton Manning or Eli Manning? I mean, Eli Manning's got 2 Super Bowls, but you're going Peyton Manning.
Oh, absolutely, hands down, because you look at how much the Giants have been floundering in the past couple seasons.
Yeah, and I mean, there's so many variables, and you look at Dan Marino and just some of the things we've seen. Like, you can get when the Bears played against the Colts in the Super Bowl, which was a Super Bowl win, the quarterback was Rex Grossman, was it not?
For the Bears?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I don't even know who the quarterback was for the Bears.
I think it was Rex Grossman, and you look at Rex Grossman, I mean, he went to the Super Bowl, but does that make him... He's not even up there in the discussion. So I think you have to look at just the body of work and what they did. And I think Peyton Manning is definitely one of the better ones. And I sometimes want to choose him over Brady, just for the simple fact that there hasn't been a quarterback really ever that could see the field the way Peyton Manning did, and he knew what you were, what defense was coming at him. Whether or not the defensive strategy worked, he knew it, and he always knew how to, what play to switch to. And I think you're correct where you say where he's starting to fall off is I think that that strength in that arm is going away.
It is.
And they're going to have to find a new way to win. So just really quick last thing on this portion before we head to another break real quick. The draft strength this year. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot to choose from.
I think quarterback-wise, yes. I think it's kind of thin. You know, when I look at the rest of the playing field, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of good receivers coming out. And I think, you know, considering that the league has become more of a pass-happy league, that's going to benefit the league. But you're right. I mean, you look at it, there's not so many players that really stick out. You're like, oh, yes, you know, this is going to be a strong draft class, you know. But I do believe that this is a draft in which players that go third and fourth rounds are going to be found a few years down the road. And I say that because I've looked at a couple quarterbacks that I really, really like, okay, that I think have the potential to be very successful in the NFL. Okay, the quarterbacks that I like right now are going to be Sean Mannion out of Oregon State, and I think it's Tim Holliday out of Washington State. These are quarterbacks that honestly put up some tremendous numbers at their schools, okay? They didn't really get all the fame like, you know, say Mariota or Winston, but if you look at their statistics, you know, they come from, you know, like, for example, Washington State, from more of a pro-style offense, you know, or at least more pro-style Oregon, for example. You know, these are quarterbacks that actually had to pass in order to be successful for their teams. And I think given that kind of experience can translate into the NFL. But like I said, these are going to be guys that are probably fourth or fifth round picks, maybe at best.
Right. Ones that will sneak in.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then the draft doesn't always, like, we see many, many of players. I mean, Tom Brady, for example, he wasn't a high pick. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers slipped. You got a lot of players out there that just did not get – you got a lot of undrafted players that are doing very well. And so whether or not – whatever stock you put into the draft, I feel like there's one or two players that come into a draft where you're just like, man, this guy's great, and then they completely show you the same thing when they hit the NFL stage. I think quarterbacks are a hit-or-miss thing too. I mean, other than – you know, Peyton Manning was a sure thing coming out. I think Andrew Luck was a sure thing coming out. And
yes.
But you never know anymore. I mean, Romo was an undrafted player. You have a lot of players out there that just succeed because they were that good and they just, you didn't see it. So we're going to take a break here in a minute and we will return very soon with Reuben Stamen. we've been saying it, brought to you by Blue Retina Entertainment. We are in the Blue Retina Entertainment Studios in Central Oregon. Lino.
I'm here, bro.
NBA basketball.
Oh, geez.
Yes. I want to talk a little bit and get your opinion on a few things here. I want to not necessarily look at the game itself, which we got a lot of. I got a lot of things I could say about NBA basketball as of current years. But I want to look at the legacy of some players that are, I would say, on their last few seasons, maybe last six seasons, and kind of where you're thinking. Now, the first one I want to talk about is Tim Duncan. Okay, Tim Duncan. I mean, how many years feasibly do you think he has left?
Duncan, honestly, man, I would love to give him another 5 years. I really see his level of game, I haven't seen really come down in the last few years as compared to, like, say, Kobe Bryant, for example.
Right. Yeah, I think as far as a big in this league, it's kind of rare to see someone last that long. And I think the way San Antonio has done things over the years has kind of preserved him in a way. And I think he's still a difference maker. They're just coming off of a championship. So, I mean, you can't really – I mean, they've been kind of struggling as of late, but I still think that he has something to give, and I think he's still got at least, you know, a few seasons in him. But do you think that he's going to hold on – let's say he can play another 5 years. Does he? Or does he? Because, like, I mean, he's got the rings. You know, he's been there. He, you know, eventually you're going to run into a situation where the team might start looking to part ways. And do you think they keep him for 5 years? Do you think he stays for 5 years? Do you think he retires maybe, even if he can play another 5 years?
Well, he's, what, 38 years old? And then I look at, like, you look at how, I don't know, they won, you know, an NBA championship just this past season. Along with that, the team is still strong with Tony Parker, Ginobili. I mean, he still has a good cast around him, okay? So, feasibly, yeah, I think he still for sure has another 2 years, which would put him to 40-41. I think five is just stretching it way too far, you know, to probably be on the safer side. He's probably got at least a good 3 years left in him. All right. Now, if that cast can stay together because of that, yeah, I definitely see a good, strong 3 years. I think a lot of what's going to determine whether he retires sooner rather than later is going to be dictated on this season and probably next season. How deep can they make it into the postseason? Can they win another championship with what they have now? You know, I know recently they've been kind of struggling, I think, a little bit on the road. But they're still a great team, you know. They're still one of the best teams in the NBA right now.
I think you get the Spurs in the playoffs, they make a run.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're still championship contenders. So with that said, do you think, because like we were just saying, you know, it might be dependent, but let's say the Spurs somehow win the NBA championship this year, which is actually going to be, I think, tougher than last year because – I think there's some teams in the West that are just so strong. But let's say they do win the title again this year. Does he start thinking of retiring?
You know, it all depends. It all depends on, you know, how much – I think it comes to a certain point. Like, if you've got five NBA championships like that, you still have a great team around you, how much do you love playing the game? Because if you really still love it, if your heart is still in it, then, yes, you can keep playing. But if you're like, okay – I won my championships. I'm not really having as much fun as I've had, you know, in the past. Then, yeah, you retire. I think it's more of a – it's going to be more of a personal thing. If he's having fun, he'll stay. If he's not and he's like, okay, I'd rather go out on top, you know, and rather than, like, not at all, then, yeah, you know, you go out on top and call it quits after the season. I think it's all dependent upon how much he still enjoys the game.
Right, and I think it's there's different philosophies. You know, some people want to go out on top. Some people just want to keep playing until they can't play at that level anymore. And I feel like Tim Duncan's going to be one of those people who's just going to play until he can't be an impact player anymore, and then he's going to retire at that point. What's the memory of Duncan going to be like? I mean, he he seems to kind of float below the radar sometimes. I mean, we talk about all these great players, and you don't hear Tim Duncan talked about too often, yet he is one of the top players in a long time. So what do you think, like, how do we remember Tim Duncan after he leaves?
I think, honestly, he'll go down as one of, you know, the NBA greats. I mean, you know, 5 NBA championships is nothing to scoff at. You know, it's just, I don't know, he gets the 5 NBA championships. He's been, what, MVP of the finals 3 times? So he's going to have a great legacy. Now, I don't know, you know, if I compare him to, like, a Jordan or Magic Johnson, you know, a Kareem, but he definitely, in my eyes, has to be up there, close to those stars.
Right.
You know?
And I think it's just weird. I think it's just odd because he's, the thing is, his game is kind of quiet, I think. And to fans or people watching, I think he just doesn't have the flash that would get, you know, him talked about too often. Yet I think that anybody who's played against him or anybody who's had to coach against him sees him as one of the most difficult players probably to game plan for out of anybody in the league probably.
Yes.
Where do you think, I mean, okay, so 5 years down the road, you got Tim Duncan. He's looking, you know, he's one of the best, one of the greats. And here's a really, like, probably a very unfair question for you. At this point, let's say for some reason LeBron James decided to retire and Duncan retired. Let's say for some weird reason he had to. Does Duncan get a better spot?
Than LeBron?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I think LeBron still has a lot to prove to not only himself, you know, but the fans
right.
as well. Even though LeBron doesn't
yeah.
care so much about, like, what fans think, I mean, in him, I know he wants to be a great. Yeah, so he won 2 NBA championships. But the thing is, he had to go to a different team, you know, bring in a certain cast to do that as well. Now, I think he's trying to go ahead and pave his own legacy, you know, with Cleveland, which he's got the potential to do, you know. So he's, for me, he has so much more proof yet to even himself. So, you know, until he's proven what he needs to prove, just that he should be up there with Duncan, or that he should be up there with Jordan, or even a Kobe Bryant, you know, then yeah,
right.
I mean,
and I think that's what I was trying to get at there is you look at, I think with that question, what that's doing is like, because LeBron James has talked about way more than Tim Duncan, but the impact of Duncan on a team. I mean, you take Duncan. I mean, that cast, yeah, Spurs are great, a great team, but you take Duncan out of the mix, and it's not that great. You're not that dominant. You're not going to go to back-to-back championships, barely lose one and win one against a really great team.
No, I gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, let's do the same thing, you know, what about Dirk Nowitzki? Because I think Dirk Nowitzki is kind of an interesting one because I see him more as a middle-of-the-road great, but he's still one of those impact players that was really hard to stop. One of the big guys that can hit a fadeaway jumper in your face.
No, absolutely. He'll probably go down, I think, as probably one of the best international players to come and play in the NBA. I don't think he'll ever probably get up there to, like, you know, a Jordan or to a Duncan or to a Kobe Bryant type of stature, but he's still a great player. Mm-hmm. He'll definitely have a, you know, Hall of Fame, you know, type of career. I mean, he's been in the NBA, you know, All-Star 13 times, NBA
yeah.
Finals MVP, you know, NBA MVP. So, I mean, he's definitely the best international, I think, import, you know, that the NBA's had. But definitely
right.
nothing, no resume that speaks to you like, you know, like the other greats that are out there that people think of when it comes to the NBA.
Right. So, I mean, he'll definitely go down as Mr. Maverick. Like, I think as far as the Dallas Mavericks franchise, Dirk will go down as one of the most beloved. And, you know, Dirk's probably going to be one of those few players that gets a statue.
No, I agree. And those are some of the key things that I do appreciate about players like, for example, Tim Duncan, or Dirk Nowitzki, or even Kobe Bryant. Yeah, Kobe Bryant was drafted by the Hornets. Great, big deal. But did he ever don a Hornets uniform? You know,
No.
Wore a Lakers uniform his entire career. You know, you've had Dirk Nowitzki.
Scottie Pippen was drafted by the Sonics, and he never played for them.
There you go. You know, and that's what I was trying to talk about when we're talking about, like, legacies of players. You know, I think Dirk Nowitzki will go down as a great player, but he won't be one of the great hits, like a Jordan type
right.
of resume, you know, or a Tim Duncan type of resume. Like, when you were asking me about LeBron James, LeBron James still has a lot to prove. He's done it
right.
in a way in which he went to another team to do it, and now he's coming back to his original team and trying to pave his own path. Because I still believe that him going to Miami never really separated him, you know, as like, you know, a Michael Jordan type of player. He became part of a
trio.
No,
I don't think so either.
And I think, honestly, for me, I look at his time at Miami as more of like being under the shadow still of yet, you know, of Wade. Because that's Wade's team. It's not LeBron James' team.
Right.
You know, James' team is
right.
the Cavaliers. So now you've got
yeah.
Nowitzki, got, you know, Duncan, whose teams are the Spurs. These are the teams that they've played for, and these are the teams that they've helped to build, and they've been successful in those teams. So, yeah, you know, I look at Nowitzki and definitely see a great player.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, the other player that we want to talk about, like, and this is my favorite right now because I think that he's kind of been thrust into some controversial moments lately, and a lot of people talking about him and not being able to play with him, and unfairly being called selfish in certain ways. But Kobe Bryant, I mean, this is a guy who I believe was part of that bridge from the end of the old school NBA to the new school NBA, you know, the way it is now. I mean, you think he came in, Jordan was on his way out. That era was on its way out. He came, did some great things, and then the NBA came into what it is now. And you look at the titles that he has, and my thing with his championships, the only thing that I think that stands in his way as far as being compared to Michael Jordan, I mean, I think Kobe Bryant, as far as style, the way he can, you know, intimidate a team and the way teams view him probably is the closest to Jordan that we'll ever see. And I think he's a better shooter than Jordan was. I do think Jordan was the overall better player, but Kobe Bryant did have, for those first championships, a guy who maybe wasn't that great, but, I mean, his name was Shaq. I don't know if you've heard of him. So how much having that – Shaq was in those championship years with the Lakers, Shaq and Kobe. Shaq was probably at his most dominant. No one could stop Shaq. So where does Kobe – what does Kobe's legacy – what does Kobe look like after he retires when it's all said and done and everything kind of gets put together? Because you had – what, Kobe's won – they won five total, right?
Five, yes. He has five NBA rings.
And I believe Kobe only has two finals MVPs.
He does.
And that's when Shaq left.
That's correct.
Correct? Or am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm not trying to say it, not trying to put like a damper on Kobe, but what do you think, with all that said, with all that information, and I mean, yeah, he's still got some time left, I think, on him. I don't know about him winning another championship due to who's the state of the Lakers, but where does he go down? Like, what do we say about him after it's all said and done?
You know, I think he'll be put up there with the greats. I mean, I don't see any reason why he couldn't, like, definitely not, I mean, he'll still be under Michael Jordan. I don't think there will ever be another player like Michael Jordan. But when we talk about, like, you know, other players like Magic Johnson, for example, Kobe Bryant has to come up. He's on that same level of caliber of player. And you're right. You know, the day I believe that Tim Duncan and Kobe Bryant both retire, the old school NBA that, you know, that we grew up watching Michael Jordan through, you know, it's going to be gone forever. And it's going to become LeBron's league, and it's going to be the new age, you know, basketball player. So, as much as like people may not like Kobe Bryant, they can say that he's selfish, you know, he still portrays an image of the game, you know, that still appeals to certain people, when we used to watch basketball in the 90s. You know, it's yeah. definitely, you know, drastically changed now in the late 2000s. But to say that he can't be up there, you know, with, you know, Magic Johnson, I think would be obscene to say. This is a great player, and he'll go down as a great player, you know. And given the fact of his the legal issues that he had, or whether he's a selfish player, or he may never even win another NBA title, he still will go down as a great.
Yeah, in my view, I think, and I could be, you know, it's just me talking, but I would have him at number two. Like, I don't see, as far as dominance and just killer instinct and just really trying to, you know, being that player that can be relied on night in and night out, other than when he had, you know, when he was hurt. But when you take Michael Jordan out of the picture, I just don't see how you don't put Kobe Bryant right there. I mean, maybe he could go down a few, but on the all-time list, but he no one's going to touch Jordan. But, you know, as far as that killer instinct, Kobe had that. You know, he was Jordan-like. He had that same kind of attacking attitude. He would kill you. And I believe he was one of those players where teams, when you go on the floor and you're the one that has to guard Kobe Bryant, I think your stomach just churns, because what do you do? Kobe Bryant will pull up from damn near half court and hit one on you. Then he'll burn you. Then he'll dunk it over you. I mean, what do you do? Kobe Bryant has some of the similarities. He emulated his game from Jordan, and he's probably – that's why it's so hard to play with him, I think, because he's just so damn competitive.
And you hit the nail on the head. I mean, if you're looking for a player that's going to give you 110% and sacrifice his body and everything that he has into a game of basketball, he is probably the only player that I can think of that would do that. Okay, you look at Wade. Through pain, he sits out. The Spurs, they sit their players constantly to rest them. Okay, LeBron, he's missed games too. But Kobe, unless he's got, like, you know, a torn meniscus or other issues that he's had, he'll could be there on the floor just as much as Jordan was when he had the flu and still played basketball.
Exactly. And I think you don't have those Warriors anymore. And I think that's where LeBron, in my eyes, that's where LeBron falls off the picture. Because LeBron, he's getting older now, and he's actually not – he had his moments – where he athletically could have ran over everybody in that lane, drew so many fouls, and done a lot of things by just dominating in that lane. And he didn't do it. And I get that he's like just that type of player who's a little bit unselfish and he likes to pass the ball. But you know what? When it comes down to it, somebody has to take that reign. And I think that that's what separates him from Kobe and Jordan on that list, is that killer instinct and that animalistic, like, I don't care what happens, what it's going to take. I don't care what my teammates think. I don't care what my coaches think. I'm going to win this game, because no matter what's happening to me, that's what's the most important. And I think LeBron James falls way short in that area.
No, I do. I believe he's going to fall short. And I think – and that's what I was talking about, when we were talking about the bridge between the old NBA player and the new NBA player. The old NBA player would sacrifice all they had and continue to play basketball. I feel that as these players, the new ones come in, they see how older players have probably damaged their bodies through so many, you know, years of playing. I think a lot of them now have this mindset of, like, I got to save my body because I want to have a long career, you know.
Right.
And so it's a shame. So I do sometimes feel like we don't get 100% of the players, you know, full involvement in the game. Not to say they don't care. I'm not even trying to say that whatsoever. But I do feel like they're trying to hold off because they're trying to save their bodies for the long haul. And I don't blame them, you know. But you're playing a sport. That is your profession and that is your job. If you love the sport and you see that Kobe Bryant has so much passion for playing, you know, you want to see that out of your professional athletes. And that's why I say, you know, you can never, you know, put Kobe Bryant down, because he will always give you his heart and soul into every game that he plays.
And I think that's what comes down to, you know, we talk about, everyone keeps just trying to talk about, you know, oh, nobody wants to go play with Kobe. Nobody wants to go over there. He's too intense. He's too this, too that. And you know what? That's how you know where this league is now, because Jordan, by all accounts, by every player, you talk to Bill Cartwright, for example, and people like that, Jordan, they did not like him for a long time. It was a struggle to play with him, but they knew that Jordan was there to win and that everything he said was just because he wanted to win, and they still played with him. They still were there. I mean, Bill Cartwright kind of went away, but all the other players, you know, they were afraid to mess up. You look at, and that's what it, you know, and that's what it means to make you these players better. Kobe Bryant could make players better around him if he had players that wanted to do that. Players have so much power nowadays that they're just like, I'm going to go somewhere else. I don't want to deal with this. Back in Jordan's day with those Bulls, the reason why they were so dominant, I believe, is because nobody wanted to face Jordan if they weren't putting in the work. No one wanted to face him. Look at Luke Longley. Luke Longley with the Bulls was a great center. Without the Bulls was nothing.
Yes.
So I think that's where it is. Kobe is a victim, if you want to call it that, of that new attitude. Because if there was players out there that really were hungry like that, they would play for him play with him.
Regardless of that. Cut out first during his practice. Remember, everyone was like, oh, my God, look at him, you know, bursting out these players and calling them names or whatever. But, like, sometimes, you know, a leader, in order to lead, you have to get upset. You know, not every leader is going to be like, oh, come here, let me show you how to do this, you know, and pat you on the back and say everything's going to be okay. You know, you have to yell at some people sometimes for them to honestly get what you're trying to do and where you're coming from.
Especially if things are – if you're just doing – making some stupid bonehead mistakes. And – Kobe can't stand that. Like, seriously. Okay, you put Jordan in the same situation. I'm serious. Like, you put that same cast around Jordan, and he's going to do the same thing. Jordan did the same thing. We don't talk about that much, but Jordan was in people's faces. And he was a very intimidating man because the guy was very strong. And that was one of the things that separates him from Kobe a little bit is just his, you know, strength and his, you know, intimidation factor to him. But I think that's the thing, is I think Kobe's just not going to get what Jordan had, and he's not going to get players that are willing to take that and be led like that and to raise their game up like that. Because when a push comes to shove, Kobe's going to outwork everybody in the room. Kobe's going to, regardless of what you say about him, you could say he's selfish, you could say he's hard to play with, but Kobe's the first one in that gym, last one out. He's the one, he's putting in the work. He's shooting 1,000 shots a day, you know, and making sure that he's ready to put his best foot forward every night that he steps on the court. And that's what Jordan did. Jordan did the same thing. But Kobe's just not going to find those players. I mean, who you got? Like, some, you look at the players now that are touted as, you know, the better players. I mean, come on, you got Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo, what is he going to do? Seriously. I mean, he's not going to go to a team with Kobe Bryant, team up with Kobe Bryant and take that, you know, what Kobe Bryant's going to dish out, because Carmelo's with a team that's not going to say crap to him. I'm not saying Carmelo's a horrible player by any stretch of the imagination, but you put him with Kobe. Kobe's going to point out his flaws.
Yeah, when you're talking about the bridge, you know, like I said, the day that Tim Duncan – and Kobe Bryant are no longer a part of this league, it's going to be Generation Next. It's going to be the new age for the NBA. And for me, like, I'm kind of falling off, you know, watching the NBA just because it's not what it used to be. And I just, you know, I feel like some of these athletes, they act like, you know, WWE wrestlers with the way they approach a game when they walk in wearing this, I don't know what kind of outfit that they're wearing just because they want to flaunt, you know, and become a very self-centered individual. You know, I don't see that in Tim Duncan. You can call Kobe Bryant selfish all you want, but when you see him enter, you know, the stadium to play a basketball game, he looks nothing but serious. You don't see him coming wearing, like, some, like, leopard print, like, you know, whatever top with some sunglasses that are, like, you know, half the size of his face. You know, and that's what I'm trying to get at. You know, once Kobe Bryant's gone, once Tim Duncan's gone, you have these new age athletes, and that's where the league has gone. And for me, I've lost interest in the NBA because of that.
Me too. I mean, I still like watching Kobe. You know, but and that's the thing too, is like the selfishness is not that kind of selfishness where he's just going to do whatever he wants and he doesn't want to win. The selfishness comes with the fact that, yeah, he knows that he's that good. You know, Jordan knew he was that good. He wasn't going to let other people dictate the terms. He was going to dictate the terms because he was going to win the game. And I think Kobe Bryant's that same way, is that you're not going to bring someone in who's going to be the guy. Kobe Bryant will be the guy till he leaves. And
yep,
I think deservedly so. I think he will always put in that work, and he will always be a couple steps ahead of that other player, and I think that's what they're considering selfish. I don't think it's – yeah, I don't know. That's why I say I think Kobe's number two. I think when it's all said and done, Kobe will be number two. And very similar to Jordan. He had Phil Jackson too. So, I mean
– Very true.
Yeah, so the one thing – there was one thing I just thought about too, and I maybe get your opinion. I don't know if you knew about this or not. But what do you think about Kevin Garnett going back to the Timberwolves?
I like it. You know, I like
I
players that try
I love
to
it. Careers. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, yeah. I was saying, I love
it. I like players in their careers where it started.
Right. And so he'll retire – a Timberwolves.
Yep. And I think it's great. I think it's good, you know. And these are all athletes that are, you know, they know that they're probably on their way out, and they want to kind of end it on their own terms. And why not, you know, finish with the team that you started? You know, you got your NBA championship with, you know, the Boston Celtics, great, you know, whatever. You're not going into the Timberwolves to be like, oh, yeah, we're definitely going to bring a dynasty here and win an NBA championship. You want to go there to compete, have fun with the game that you love playing, but knowing that you're finishing your career where it all began.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's what's good about it. And, you know, he did, you know, go to Boston to get a ring. But I don't hate on him for it too much. It'd be nice if he could have stayed with the Timberwolves and finished out. But what are you going to do? I mean, LeBron did it. He could do it, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess so, yeah. Like I said, we'll see where LeBron ends up in the grand scheme of things. You know, is he a good player? Sure, he really is a good player. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But like the athletes that you see that are on their way out are the athletes that honestly they led to inspire the athletes that are currently playing now. You know,
yeah.
The only thing is, dudes are completely different.
Yeah, this is the truth, and you know. It is, like, yeah, like you were saying, it does make it harder to watch. I don't think I've watched a handful of games. And I think the only reason why I watched the NBA Finals in the last couple seasons is because of the Spurs. I don't think it's because of anything else. The Spurs were fun to watch.
They were fun to watch. You know, and that probably may be part of the reason why people were so anti-Miami is because they have the players that – had that new age attitude, and you've got, you know, the old school attitude in the Spurs, and you always want to see that old school mentality prevail over the new and improved whatever. And so, you know,
yeah.
That's probably the reason why there's so much draw to, like, you know, Tim Duncan or the Spurs or anti-LeBron, anti-Miami, you know?
Yeah. But. Well, yeah, I think that's all good stuff. And so, do you think there's any chance Kobe wins another title? Do you think that's just out of the question?
Realistically, unless something happens and where they can bring in either some new talent or players that can play, you know, in conjunction with the type of game that Kobe Bryant wants to play, I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I think he needs another big man kind of like Shaq, you know, which they don't have. And I think you need another support like Derek Fisher on the court as well, and they don't have that either.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. That'd be a good one to have.
Oh, yeah.
Heck, that'd be good.
Lakers great, you know. If you can bring in, you know, Shaq-like and Derek Fisher-like players, of course, you know.
Or Eddie Howe.
Oh, yeah, you can't forget Gasol.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's possible, but very improbable and very unlikely. And I don't see him ever going to another team. I think he would have done that. He would have done that already. And I think he still believes that if need be, he could win by himself. I still think he thinks that. Like, it doesn't matter who's on the team.
I think he's going to do that. Like, honestly, you look at a player like Kobe, right? Say he doesn't really have a great cast around him. If he literally could take the Lakers and win the NBA championship on his own, then what kind of a legacy does he have? Do you compare him on the same level as Jordan, you know? Because Jordan did some great things.
And if he wins with the kind of cast that he has now, and it's just that dang obvious, I don't see how you don't start talking about that, because he would have to put on a performance that would be, especially at that age, that would be a performance throughout the season, throughout the playoffs, that would be probably unrivaled.
And that's what might be keeping him going, is that dream, that maybe that's like what really his like aspirations are. It's like, wow, if I can do this on my own, I will submit myself as, if not like the greatest, one of the greatest of all time.
Well, I think Kobe's always had something to prove ever since the Shaq era. I mean, as great as that team was, a lot of people, you know, it was hard not to say that Shaq was maybe the biggest part of that, because of the dominance that he had and how big of a threat he was down low. I mean, and it took away from Kobe a bit, I think. And he wanted to prove it. And then he got a couple rings without him. But I think now he doesn't want to budge on certain things. He knows what he wants. And it's like, are the Lakers going to cut him? Probably not. I don't see the Lakers ever cutting him. I see them letting him play out as long as he wants to play it out. And they won't start rebuilding until he leaves. I just don't see it. I think Kobe's got them by the cojones, so to speak. And I think he's kind of surpassed Magic Johnson as the face of the Lakers.
No, I agree.
The Black Mamba.
Black Mamba.
Might be a little racist. I don't know.
No. Not at all. Come on.
But it's a great conversation. I think I think we'll end it on that note. And I just thanks for coming on and doing this, and we'll do some more.
No, absolutely. I apologize about being late. You know,
It's all good. It's all gravy. It's all good in the hood, as they say.
Sounds good. But hopefully we do this again next Wednesday. We'll definitely do it. You know, some new topics, man.
We'll definitely have some new topics, and I got some things to talk about, and I can't wait. The NFL's going to start coming into a full swing soon, and there are a lot of things we could have talked about today about the NFL that we might just leave for another day. I think case in point, I think next time we might talk about this little trade that went down with the Bills and the Eagles. A lot of people were up in arms with Shady going over there. And Shady McCoy don't like it either.
No, he doesn't.
He's being pretty vocal about it. But you got to do what you got to do, I guess, Chip Kelly. All right, thank you for joining us tonight, guys. Next Wednesday, join us about the same time. We'll have some new topics. I think we'll definitely get into the Shady McCoy and maybe talk a little bit about Chip Kelly, because we kind of like Chip Kelly around here. I was a little upset that he went to the Eagles, but I digress on that one. So from us over here, we are signing off, and we thank you for joining us, and until next time.